This morning's public read from God's holy, inspired, and preserved word is Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 34 to verse 30. Luke chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in kings' courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Notice, being not baptized of him. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Look at that last closing line or two here, verses 29 to 30. I got something interesting to tell you. This is only found in Luke's gospel out of all the four gospel narratives. Only Luke records this. And it's very interesting by its implication. And all the people that heard him, those who heard these words come forth from the lips of Jesus, as Jesus brings a eulogy, if you will, a praise to his cousin John. And the publicans justified God. Now notice, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. The word here justify means to prove to be true, to prove to be genuine, to prove to be legitimate, prove to be that which is right, that which is true. So, how did the people in those early days of John's ministry prove that God was true and legitimate and real, and his word, God's word, carries the day? They were baptized by John. They believed John's message so much that they exemplified that faith and that belief, notice, first in God's word, not the water. Not even John. John was just a messenger. But how did they prove that God's word is true, God is true, and all that came out of John's lips was in alignment with the word of God at that time? They followed John into his baptism. Wow. So baptism seems to have a very powerful message. Not only is your baptism a picture of what has occurred on the inside of you already in your repentance and in your faith, in your conversion, if you will, God turning you, not you turning yourself, but by God's grace, God enabling you to turn from your idols now to serve the true and living God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses I think around 9 and 10, check me out. You turned away from your idols, but in that turning away from something, you got to turn to something. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul tells those Gentile believers, you turn from your idols, but in that turning, you now turn to the true and living God, and now you wait for his Son from heaven. Check it out. Now notice the opposite. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God. So, I would contend that the phrase in verse 29, justified God, is being modified or described in verse 30 as what? The counsel of God. There's a parallel here. When it says that the people and the publicans justified God, what were they hearing? God's counsel, as it came from the lips of John, the word that John was giving them at that time. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the gist of his message. The Pharisees and the lawyers, on the other hand, they rejected the counsel of God. They rejected the word of God. And how did they outwardly demonstrate that rejection? They refused to be baptized by John. And again, beloved, this little tidbit here is only recorded by Luke. Not by Matthew, Mark, or John. And it's nowhere else mentioned, to my understanding, in the rest of the New Testament. Only found here. And it's amazing. And since you believe this to be the word of God, then this should carry the day. When someone tells me, well, I'm saved, but I'm not going to get baptized. I don't believe in doing that. Are they truly saved? The people and the publicans heard John gladly. They heard him gladly, and they received this message. And in the reception of that message was the desire to be obedient to God Almighty and to follow into the baptism that John was then performing. The Pharisees and the lawyers, on the other hand, they rejected John. And how did they demonstrate that outwardly? They refused to be baptized of him. Now you let that sink into your heads, what that's implying. What you claim to be on the inside, get this, should be demonstrated on the outside. And in this case, the outward demonstration was to obey John's call. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And after that belief and after that reception, you followed into baptism. Something else too. Look at verses 26. And what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he. Now there are those who tell us that Elijah has to still come back to earth with Moses, and they're going to be breathing fire out of their mouth in the premillennial dispensational nightmare that's being forced on people. Well, beloved, notice this. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Look at Malachi chapter 3, quickly, because of time. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Beloved, this is talking about the first coming, the first advent, not the second coming at the end of time. Even the messenger of the covenant, yeah, the new covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Beloved, this is all New Testament first advent prophecy that would eventually become fulfilled in the days of Jesus. And then look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That is not the second coming. Not the second coming. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This has nothing to do with the first, with Christ's second coming. It has everything to do with his first advent. Look at the words of verses 6. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now turn to Luke chapter 1. And look at verse 15 to 17. Notice the words of the angel to John the Baptist's father. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Same language, same verbiage. And the angel here is talking to John's daddy, not about events at the end of time, but the events that are related to the first advent of the Messiah, not the second coming at all. Well, may God choose to bless his word.